Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Powerade Tidal Burst presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, the race is on. Life on Mars. Will it be any good? What's telly reception like? Can you get a park? Are there any decent restaurants? We'll try and find out. Also today, we'll cross to that Olympic flag procession. We'll ask, what's all that about? And we'll show you how you can spend an evening at a top nightclub without ever leaving your own home. We'll wind up another week of Radio Gladiators and True Confessions. We'll award the Fumio. And joining us live for a yak and a sing, it's Nick Barker. Yes, it's all coming up on the program, hosted by honours graduates from the Ponds Institute. Can you tell I'm running out of these? Martin Malloy. Here I am, take me by the E, that's UB40 here at Martin Malloy. It's the Friday edition, welcome aboard Australia. Who's here today? Well, it's me, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who spent this morning trying to convince his probation officer that streaking at the footy does qualify as unpaid community work, Mick Malloy.
I wasn't doing it for me. I was thinking of others.
Well, good on you. But let's put that behind us, Mick, because check out the calendar.
It's Friday.
And that means it's time to bestow our highest honour, the Martin Malloy Fumio, on whoever it was who gave us the most to talk about over the last week. The Fumio, this week brought to you by the new Kate Fisher Chocolate Surprise. Each one actually modelled on Kate's brain. Remember, it's those little bubbles of nothing that make it really something. Mick, who are the nominees?
Austrian body painter Karl Machama, inventor of the liquid condom the user paints on with a paintbrush. Yes, and I don't know about you, Tone, but I get the feeling Karl might be wise to cut back a bit on the old finger painting.
Hello to Karl Machama. But what about Michael Jackson, whose nose was literally washed off his face when he was doused with water on the set of his latest video? Apparently the crew just looked on in horror while Michael stood there going, I'm melting! I'm melting! But the good news for Jackson is that instead of having more giant statues made for his new clip, he can simply use shots of Egypt's Sphinx.
Very nice. Def Leppard's one-armed drummer, Rick Allen, who this week pleaded guilty to charges of attempting to strangle his wife. There were comical scenes afterwards as confused bailiffs attempted to handcuff Allen as he was led from court.
And what about that bloke who attempted to escape from Britain's Parkhurst prison by colouring his entire body with a yellow highlighter pen in order to convince warders he was suffering from jaundice? In his latest failed escape attempt, he was apparently found completely covered in yellow post-it notes going, quick, quick, it's hepatitis! But no, the Fumio goes to
the man behind Australia's closing ceremony presentation at the Atlanta Olympics, Rick Burch! Yes, after organising 12 giant inflatable kangaroos to be strapped to the back of bicycles, Burch himself was asked to get on his bike.
He was, but what about this, Mickey? Here's a treat. Burch was, in fact, amongst the Olympic heroes who took part in today's flag procession up Sydney's George Street.
And now the crowd getting quite excited as they get their first glimpse of Superfish Kieran Perkins. They come a triumphant hockey news. Next up, it's the face of the Channel 7 commentary team, Gary Wilkinson, Wilco. Oh, whoops, he's rear-ended Arthur Tunstall. And now here comes the man behind our closing ceremony presentation, Rick Burch. Oh dear, quite a few eggs being hurled. And, oh my God, he's losing control of the vehicle. Oh, and thank God his impact was broken by that enormous kangaroo exploding out of the steering column. Well done.
It's a world I know from Collective Soul here at Martin Malloy, where, Mickey, yes, it's time to ask that question.
What's all that about?
What you got for us?
It's a doozy, Tone. Have you seen the new Physical Milk ad? on the telly.
No.
You can say no.
It's a shocker.
Is it really?
It's a shocker. So it's something you feel strongly about, clearly.
Let me describe it to you, Dane. There's a family sitting around minding their own business. All of a sudden, the Grim Reaper knocks the door down and starts smashing the joint up because they haven't been drinking their milk.
All right.
Not content with that, he starts hoeing into the oldies, and next thing you know, human bones are being smashed into a fine powder. It's satanic. It's violent. If we already had access to a V-chip, the kiddies wouldn't be allowed to see this particular milk commercial.
Oh, dear.
Tone, did I miss a meeting?
What's happened?
It's milk, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's milk.
Yeah.
I fail to see the connection. If a cow came through the front door and trashed a joint wanting his milk back, okay, I can follow that. But how do you get from a carton of milk to an evil mass slaying?
Well,
The premise, of course, is that, yes, the calcium contained in milk can help prevent the onset of osteoporosis in old people.
Mm.
Okay, fine, but I fail to see how a carton of milk can save you when a psychopathic killer bursts your door down and reduces your relative to a pile of fine powder. Milk ads, I remember when milk ads used to be about happy things. Hey, enjoy your milk. Kids with little milky moustaches.
Now, that old farmer used to run all the way to town with a spoonful of extra cream for your milk.
What about the cow?
He wasn't smashing up your joint.
No, sirree. And you were happy to see him. What about the cow? The other cow that's in the gym equipment.
Oh,
it's with a vibrating backside. That's funny. That's lighthearted. That's saying I'll go out and buy my carton of milk. But you know, milk ads used to be about those kind of things.
Yeah.
Right. But now. Now it's take your medicine or you'll die. Drink your milk or die, die, die. A horrible death, you calcium deficient bag of crusty old bones. Die, die, die. We produce milk. If you don't drink it, you're going to die, die, die. And you know how they symbolize Physical's ability to ward off imminent grisly death?
How's
that? The surviving family members start piffing their empty milk cartons at the Grim Reaper's noggin, a couple of which take his head clean off.
Is that right?
So not only is the milk a valuable life-saving medicine that, quite frankly, I feel should be only be available on prescription, but now it's a bloody handy weapon as well. 2 litres of well-aimed Physical reduced our old buddy the Grim Reaper to a chalk outline on the family room floor. I mean, I've got to wonder if cartons of milk should be freely available or whether you need a license.
Yeah.
Look out! He's got a carton of Physical! Run for your lives! Run for your lives! If Nick Cave had gone Kylie Minogue's head with a carton of Physical on that murder ballad, she would have been bashed beyond recognition, Tone. Well, there you go. Let's just hope all those cartons of Physical down in the supermarket freezer don't fall into the wrong hands. I'm telling you, Tone, kids, they'll be having nightmares about those ads. Make no mistake, they'll be keeping a carton of milk under the bed to ward off the boogeyman. Well done, advertising industry. No, well done. Take a round of applause. This time, you've excelled yourself.
And, Mickey, a glass of Physical?
Please.
It's like mother's Physical. Is that what you're saying? Now, look, I just want to come in here if I can and just shoehorn myself into your segment as I often do. Because I've got a quick what's all that about, which has just come to hand in the afternoon papers. Listen to this. The US government is about to test a new device to stop fleeing cars in high-speed chases. It's some sort of launcher that fires a carton of Physical. No, it's not at all. Listen to this. The device fires a massive static electrical charge at an escaping car, which disables the engine, forcing the vehicle to stop. A massive static electrical charge. So let me get this right. You'll see a getaway vehicle being pursued by a cop car with 3 cops in the back frantically rubbing balloons against each other's heads. No shoes on, just madly rubbing their socks against the floor. 1 more minute, senior, and we'll be ready to discharge. Not quite up to power yet. But so let me get this right. In future, cop cars will be like giant mobile stun guns firing electrical charges at escaping vehicles. You'll see footage on the news of like 4 blokes being hauled into a police station, all with hair like Don King. Kiss! That's Prince, here at Martin Malloy.
Want to spend an evening at a top nightclub but can't be bothered getting off your ass to find one? Then you need the new Martin Malloy nightclub helmet. Simply by donning the Martin Malloy nightclub helmet, you can experience all the sensations of an actual nightclub from the comfort and safety of your own couch. Just whop it on. Fire it up and let the nightclub helmet do the rest. First, you'll be subjected to 900 decibels of dance music.
Oh, that's very loud.
Then the laser light show kicks in.
Ow! Ow!
Slowly the helmet fills with smoke. And every 7 minutes it spills a drink down the front of your shirt. And as an authentic final touch, when the nightclub helmet cycle is complete, you'll have had absolutely no sex whatsoever. And one of our staff will have broken into your house and emptied all the money out of your wallet. Plus, for this month only, we'll send a genuine AFL football around to pick a fight with you just as you're taking the helmet off. The Martin Malloy Nightclub Helmet. It's just as good as being there. Coming soon, along with the Martin Malloy Silverchair Concert Balaclava.
Silverchair!
The Martin Malloy Elevator Beanie. The Martin Malloy Public Library Turban. And the Martin Malloy Completely Ruined Evening Camo Shanta.
And welcome back to Martin Malloy, where it's time to find out what Pamela Anderson's been up to.
Hey, what's... The Simple Life, that's John Farnham here at Martin Malloy. Now, of course, brought to you by Powerade Title Burst. That's the logo we've got up on the big satellite. We were having a bit of satellite trouble before, Mickey, but it doesn't matter. It's all over. Tom Cruise, Popeye, had a look at it, just fixed it up.
He can fix anything, that boy, can't he?
What's going on? Tom Cruise, he's rescued...
everyone.
Well, exactly. He's,
everyone.
He's going through the phone book, alphabetically. He rescued a hit-and-run victim in the United States. This is a while back.
Yeah, then there was the opening or some premiere where a young girl was getting crushed.
And he dived in there, pulled her out, and now he's rescued five people whose boat was sinking in the Mediterranean. Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman was just zipping past. Yacht's going down. Yeah. He's hauled everyone out of the water.
Someone sent up the cruise signal.
Does that sound like the behaviour of a man with a zero sperm count to you?
Not at all. He's out there.
That'll learn him over it. Bunt. Yeah. Do you read Bunt?
No, I don't, but I'm thinking of getting that particular edition. Do you think that's it? Maybe it's just some big publicity stunt to make him out to be some kind of virile kind of action man.
What, so he's staging boat disasters?
He probably set it on fire.
Himself?
Yeah.
This will show him over at Bunt. I picked up the paper the other day and it said, he just said, Tom Cruise sues Bunt for $70 million. I'm going, who's this Bunt?
I don't know who they are, but it sounds fair enough to me.
That'll teach him. But enough Tom Cruise talk, because what's coming up on the show, Nick Barker's going to be here in the next year. Didn't he go through a period of just being called Barker?
He did.
And now he's back to Nick Barker.
Are you no reptiles?
No reptiles. Reptiles are long since departed.
Righto.
What's with the just going to Barker? I think he got sick of people saying they were on first-name terms with Nick Barker. But I'll show him. But he's going to be in to explain all. He's got a new album out, and it's getting really good reviews. We'll talk about that in the next hour. Also, True Confessions, which not tomorrow, I haven't heard tomorrow's yet.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I've heard it's going to be brilliant.
If anyone's got a tape, send it in. But no, yesterday we had a woman who pretended to be an answering machine so she wouldn't have to speak to her relatives.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, and I reckon she might have started a bit of a trend too. I already know three people I've spoken to said, that was brilliant. Yeah, I'll be giving that a go.
We should use that on Radio Gladiators, you know, when we get those really blue calls. We're not here right now. Leave your suggestion after the beep. Also, Radio Gladiators itself is on the way. And here's a story which has caught my eye today, Mickey. Remember that report on air pollution a few months back?
Yes.
That said breathing Sydney air was the same as smoking 10 cigarettes a day.
Yep.
Well, we haven't got the other states, but the figures on Melbourne were released yesterday. 7 smokes a day.
7.
So 3 below Sydney.
Mm.
The news has prompted calls for a national body to monitor air pollution. Don't we already have the Australian Broadcasting Authority? That's who I wrote to when the Baldy man came on. But that's, isn't that, you know, that's fantastic news, I suppose, for Melbourne smokers.
Mm.
That'll save some cash. You know, these exorbitant cigarette prices. Yeah. Forget your first 7 smokes of the day. Just pop outside and breathe deeply. If you want to save even more money, move to Sydney. But what will the people down Quit do with this news? Will they be running ads to tell us to give up the breathing? We need giant health warnings on billboards at every intersection. Breathing may damage your health. You've got to realise it.
Mm.
But I tell you what I find offensive, Mickey. All these Hollywood movies that glamorise breathing.
Oh, yes.
It's not cool to breathe the air, kiddies. Don't believe what Hollywood says. By the way, did you notice how when I got to work this morning, I had a really blue face?
Yeah,
did you
notice I see that.
Yeah, I got in a cab today and he had a no breathing sticker.
Oh, right.
Mind you, that's probably good advice regardless of the pollution statistics.
This is
Martin Molloy, where it's time for some of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Mickey, are you packed? Are you ready?
No. Where are we going?
Mars.
Oh, hang on. I've got everything I need. Hand luggage only.
Everyone's off to Mars. It's the race to the red planet. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a sniff of some kind of bacteria on a rock.
I've seen so many people so keen to check out the bacteria.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole new land. There's no overhead Optus cables up there. It's just waiting to be done.
Yep.
It's been waiting to be turned into another Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what they're thinking. They're sending. Are they talking about sending a manned mission back to Mars?
Oh, everyone's racing to get there first. Everyone's out in the garage knocking something up that'll get them to Mars. Mm. It's just Mars mania.
But how did they get the rock back?
Well, the rock arrived.
Oh, it was
sent in one of those post-it tubes, I think, from Mars some years back. But no, you're right, because talking about sending, I think, 2 robotic missions to Mars later in the year, costing $387 million each. So these will be unmanned spacecraft.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Send back more rocks?
Oh, just more rocks.
You know what they need? A shuttle. A ute shuttle. It's got like a tray in the back so they can fly it there, chock it up in the back and bring it back, and then we can all check out the bacteria.
I think...
Let's get as much bacteria as we can. You load it up, you put the tarp over the back of the shuttle, and Bob's your uncle.
Is that the plan, to get Mars back here? Instead of us going, they'll send a couple of robots up, and eventually, week by week, it builds into our own Mars Earth. But no, they're sending these unmanned spacecraft, and I was thinking, didn't we send an unmanned spacecraft about 10 years
20,
ago?
I think it was about 20 years ago.
And that came back...
Viking.
It came back with a Viking, was it?
Had a couple of horns.
But that came back with rocks from Mars.
Yeah.
Came back with all kinds of stuff.
And they said, no, there's no life.
Came back with one of them T-shirts. I went to Mars, all I got was one of these lousy T-shirts. What do we need more robotic missions for?
Oh, well, exactly.
Surely if you got one stack of Mars rocks, you've got them all.
That's it. Stop mucking around in the shallow end of the pool and let's get some people on Mars. Let's kick back. We're ready to go. Let's start pitching tents.
And, of course, it's thrown the church into a bit of a spin because, you know, does...
Oopsie. Yeah,
exactly.
Whoops.
Does God's jurisdiction extend to Mars? That's a big debate in the papers today.
Yeah, they came out and said, well, obviously the redemption is needed everywhere.
That's right.
Their knee-jerk reaction.
Well, no, the Catholic Church has basically extended God's cover. His third party now extends to Mars.
Oh,
so that's good news for the big bloke. But what we're saying today, if I can even get round to it, is Mars. Living on Mars, would it be a good idea?
What are the advantages?
What are the advantages of moving to Mars?
Mm.
What's a good reason to move to Mars?
What can Mars offer you that is better than what Earth has to offer?
And have you got any suggestions, Mickey?
Well, I was thinking, as yet, Mars hasn't been previewed on Channel 9's Getaway program, so there shouldn't be too many tourists. You know what I mean? If you want to get away for a while, normally you go to these places and they're chockers.
Yeah.
I reckon that's idyllic.
All right, here's some good news. Data from the Voyager spacecraft confirms Mars' atmosphere cannot support Arthur Tunstall.
Oh, good.
So that'll get people going. going.
And the lack of gravity would probably mean Jason Donovan would be able to stand upright a lot longer than usual.
Atmosphere on Mars doesn't contain even enough oxygen to inflate one blow-up kangaroo.
That'll get people going.
Here's one.
All right. No lengthy bank queues. No, I've heard. I've heard apparently that's a feature. Well, yeah, that's the difference between Mars and Earth.
No Foxtel on Mars, therefore no visits from Fergie. So that's a good advantage, I think.
Plenty of room for beach volleyball.
Yes. What about this? Peter Costello's $10 billion hole not visible from Mars. You won't have to have, you know, Peter Costello waving his hole in your face all the time.
Beauty!
And, of course, because the planet is populated only by tiny microbes and living minerals, very little chance of original occupants making pesky little tidal claims at a later date.
Gotcha.
All right, we're just looking for little basic reasons why you should move to Mars. What are the advantages? And do we have a prize? Of course we do. We've got a pair of cool Bollé sunnies. And you'll be going into the draw for that trip for two to Falls Creek, courtesy Falls Creek, courtesy Qantas, courtesy the Diana Lodge, and courtesy of an as-yet unpronounceable ski hire company, spelt G-E-B-I-S. Is it Boutros Ski Hire?
There goes what's it called? Boutros Ski Hire. What's it called?
It's Gebbies. It's Jeebus. It's Jeebies.
Which, incidentally, I think is the name they've given to the bacteria.
Oh, really?
That I got from Mars.
Not that you'll find a single bit of bacteria at Jeebies or Gebbies Ski Hire. Certainly not. All right, that's the prize. Call us up now. We'll be drawing that prize, incidentally, at the conclusion of today's Radio Gladiators. 1-800-657-657. James, that's Tina Arena here at Martin Molloy. It's Radio Gladiators, and because every single newspaper is running the headline, Life on Mars, Race to the Red Planet, we're all heading Mars side, apparently.
Mm.
What are the advantages of that? What are the good reasons for moving to Mars?
Mm.
It's as simple as that today.
There you go.
It? All right, let's see if we've got any decent suggestions. Mick Molloy.
Hello, Michelle.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
That's the way. Now let's get into it. Why in particular would you like to move to Mars? What are the advantages? What are the pluses?
No, all the things that only ever happen once every blue moon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, blue moon is only something that when you have a full moon twice in a month.
Is that right?
Doesn't
that's a blue
happen
moon
on Earth very often.
Mm-hmm.
I get taken out about, you know, once every blue moon.
Oh,
but
okay.
In Mars, a blue moon would happen every month because there are two moons.
Oh, really? So someone would take you out every month.
Yeah.
So, Michelle,
that's why you're moving to Mars.
Yeah.
You thought that through.
It's just going to be a huge babe fest for you, Michelle. That's what you see. You figured it out that way.
All right. I like it a lot.
Is there a right? Social life.
And two moons on Mars, I had no idea.
Mm. You wouldn't know what you were doing, would you? One in each window.
The dogs would be going crazy. Hang on, I just did that. Anyway, let's leave Michelle there. Thanks, Michelle. We've got Lisa with us now. Are you there, Lisa?
Yeah, hello.
You've got a good reason for moving to Mars, I believe.
Yes, I wouldn't have any neighbours.
Neighbours?
Oh, hang on. Sounds like trouble.
So to just be you on Mars, no neighbours, no neighbourhood watch meetings to go to. What's going on around at your place that's prompted this, Lisa?
Well, I've just got these people moved in next door and they're renting the place and they're swingers.
Oh, they're swingers.
Yeah, and they have these huge big parties every, like, Saturday night.
Mm, yeah.
And we get all these cars parked on our driveway.
Mm, right.
And they're not for our house.
Swingers. You know,
swingers.
What a swingers. I thought swingers went out in the 60s. You know, I'm thinking Dean
Martin.
Well,
they're pretty old people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, I'd say they'd probably be 50s or 60s.
They're probably from Mars.
I'd say so. We'll
probably an exchange program.
And they're just on the swing, are they?
And they walk around nude all the time.
Oh, that's swingers. Them swingers, all right. I'd get somebody in about them swingers. All right, thanks, Lisa. Now we've got Harvey. Harvey, have you got a problem with swingers, or are you going to tell us about a good reason for moving to Mars?
Oh, look, he's saying nothing.
He's heard about that two moons deal. He's gone, I'm off. Look at this radio competition. I'm off to Mars.
Mm.
And, Em, what was Harvey going to say? No X-Files.
No X-Files.
Oh, so he doesn't like the X-Files.
Oh, I see.
Well, you see, the X-Files people have got to him. Blakes and Sunnings have arrived.
We can't have that.
Oh, would they have science fiction programs on...
Yes, they would.
...on Mars?
I'm sure they would.
Would there be programs about, like, people... Like Independence Day, but people from Earth are coming.
Oh, my God! They're wearing safari suits! Aliens! In acid wash.
All right, well, no, nothing.
That's frightening.
That. Okay. What about Daniel? Daniel, I believe you've got a decent reason for moving to Mars.
Yeah. I reckon there'll be no census forms to fill out.
No census forms! That'll be fairly easy to fill out.
Well,
pretty hard
one
to collect.
That's right. That's right. The census form on Mars is just, are you a microbe? how many, you know, cells are you? And that's pretty much all they want to know.
There it is.
At this stage. And did you have a bit of a problem with the census, Daniel? Wasn't very happy with the questions?
Yeah, we just mucked around with it, filled them out and put all stupid answers in them.
Did you? Could you give us an example of one of your stupid answers if it's clean?
Oh, you put down like Dad's job as an assassin and...
Well, as Dave O'Neill, a guest the other day, pointed out on the show, they said, if you don't know, just give it your best answer. And that sounds like your best answer to me.
As long as you're having fun.
All right, thanks, Daniel. Helping paint the big census picture.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to those results in 18 months. Apparently, we've got a surfeit of assassins in the country, and we're acting accordingly. Thanks, Daniel. Now we've got who? Who's mixed?
I believe it's Nicole.
Oh, it's Nicole.
Hello.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi, I thought I was...
You calling from Mars?
No, but I thought of a good idea to take something to Mars.
Right.
I thought we could take a chain of Planet Earth restaurants.
Planet Earth?
And start with Mars and work our way around the whole system, whole planetary whatever.
Right, and what would you be able to get at Planet Earth?
Well, someone's looking at me in the car, sorry. They're all looking at me. They're watching me on the radio. How embarrassing.
And so they're looking at you, they're going, it's either it's her or
they're
she's
waving,
doing a perfect lip sync of the girl on the radio.
No, have you had, like, Pamela Anderson, Silicon Tits and Kate and sort of things like that, you know, all those things from Earth?
Right, gotcha. Planet Earth. And I bet all those same stars would show up.
What?
It'd be Jean-Claude Van Damme on the motorbike. It'd be Bruce Willis going, yippee-ki-yay, boys!
Something like
the
that.
The same shtick they do everywhere.
You're still stuck in traffic, Nicole?
What?
You're still stuck in traffic?
No, I'm on the corner.
All right.
Anyone giving you a hard time?
Yeah, just giving me a hard time, and I'm really trash. I've been drinking all afternoon.
Okay, all right. Nicole, can you just wind your window down?
I'm out on the footpath.
Oh, you're out on the footpath?
Yeah, I had to stop the car. Actually, people are coming out looking at me now.
Oh, dear. This is developing into an incident, which
I know,
we're going to be reading about in the paper.
Apparently there's no booze buses
but
on Mars either.
My boyfriend's beating me.
Yeah, okay. Well, you get back to us with a full report, Nicole, and now we'll move on finally to Mark. Mark, I hope you're not drunk, and I hope you've got a suggestion for us.
I had a corporate lunch this afternoon, boys, but no, I'm not drunk at all.
Well done. And you've got a good reason for moving Mars site?
The best thing about moving to Mars, it'll be a hilarious place to live. It'll just be so funny.
Why is that?
Because of the atmosphere in Mars, there's less oxygen in your voice. It goes all weird.
It'll sound like Michael Jackson. It'll be Mars. Everyone on Mars sounds like Michael Jackson.
Oh, Michael Jackson on Mars, you wouldn't be able to hear him at all, except dogs.
Did you see the football on the weekend? Yeah, it was hilarious. Like, it'd be fantastic.
And it'd be very hard to be told off. Get inside, young man, and take those bins in. You'd just be laughing.
Enough of you. Yeah, right, Mum. Yeah, right.
And you'd be getting Peter Costello. This is the result of our federal budget.
It'd be hilarious.
And so it's just going
to
be...
And here's Barry White's latest song.
Can't get enough of your love,
baby.
All right. Well, is that a good reason for
me? I'm having more fun than I have had so far today.
Everyone would have silly high-pitched voices. All right, Mark.
Would Pete Smith have a silly high-pitched voice, Tone? Would he have a silly high-pitched voice?
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll find out, because guess what, Mark? You've won yourself the Bolle Sunnies.
Fantastic.
And you're going into the draw. We've written your name on the barrel, and, on the barrel itself. That's not going to help him win. We've written it on something that's going in the barrel. Let me put it that way. But let's open the booth and welcome the only man on this program who's really qualified to do a proper show business barrel draw, Pete Smith.
Hello, boys.
Give us a quick sale of the century. Oh, well, as long as you're enjoying yourself.
We will put some videotapes of sale into a time capsule, I think, and blast them off.
Haven't they done that already?
Oh, well, I don't know. No, they use The Price is Right.
Oh, yes, that's in the Voyager.
Come on down! Get the car!
All right, Pete. You've got a job to do, a very important job. Reach into the Beasley, if you would, and pull out one of the five contestants from this week's Gladiators who'll be off to Falls Creek.
It's a responsibility, but here is your winner. It's Lachlan Hughes.
Lachlan Hughes!
Okay.
Who actually, by coincidence, Pete suggested that Fergie could become the Duchess of Copperart and help you out on the ads now that she's on the flog.
And I pulled him out.
Hang on. There's going to be a quiz show-style investigation into this affair.
Oh, dear. I did see it, and it was conducted in accordance with United Nations regulations.
And the Legion of Decency.
Exactly.
Don't forget them.
Now, Pete, just quickly, any big plans this weekend?
Oh, I've got big ones this weekend. I'm selling a few houses this weekend.
Oh, you really?
Fact, yeah. People don't know this, but I sell houses on the side.
Do you really?
Not my own, just other people's. Yeah. And They don't know about it. You know, you've got to wait till they go away. It's risky business, boys.
It must be a very loud auction. I'd like to see that. Now, Pete, I think you've got to get back in the booth, which, as we know, has even less atmosphere than
it's
the surface.
It's rarefied, believe me.
Of the planet Mars.
No germs in there.
Thanks very much. No microbes, no bacteria. Thanks very much, Pete Smith. And we'll be back in the next hour with Nick Barker.
This is Martin Molloy.
It's shocking. It's bad news for this area.
Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Drink the bold new power source.
And in this hour of Martin Molloy, our answer to Before They Were Stars, another round of True Confessions, and next up, it's Nick Barker, all thanks to Powerade Tidal Burst. Michael with Fast Love here at Martin Molloy. Don't forget, if you want to see George Michael in concert, if that idea is up your alley, you can have a chance because we're sending somebody to England Friday after. I think I've been saying next Friday.
Via Mars.
That's right.
It's Mars, England.
That's right. And that's all thanks to the people at Foxtel Red Music Television. That's True Confessions. It's coming up. But first, let's meet our guest today. And this bloke, he's got a new album out. It's called Damn Mermaids. It's getting rave reviews. He's fit. He's ready to go. He's got his first name back. That's right, he's once again Nick Barker. Nick, thanks for coming in today.
No worries, Tim.
Now, Nick, it's been how many years? 2 years since Happy Man?
Yep.
Are you still happy? If so, how happy are you?
I'm reasonably happy, probably a touch more happy than with that album, but I think it sounded stupid to call it Slightly Happier Man. Or...
Yeah, exactly. You let yourself know where to go.
Yeah,
you know. Now, tell us about the title of your new album, Damn Mermaids, before we get to the album itself. Why is it called that?
It just came from a friend of mine who did a painting called Damn Mermaids, which, although... Yeah, you can't see it. It's of a businessman about to shoot a mermaid. Which, I don't know. I just thought it was something different, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's better than the standard kind of Vaseline lens sort of nice publicity shot type thing, you know.
Yes.
I'll save that for
the cover of our next album. You see our last one? It was just completely brown.
I did, actually.
Revolutionary, wasn't it?
It was fun going around to Michael Gadinsky's house and selling him on that idea.
So what are you guys doing on the cover?
It's just brown.
Do you have to report to Gadinsky? Did he have okay Damn Mermaids?
Just to mow the lawns on Sunday.
Aaron pay back boy! Some money.
You're mowing the lawns and someone from Wawanee is cleaning out
washing the
pool.
Car.
Exactly. While we're talking mermaids, I understand, Nick, you've written a song, I'm not sure if it's on the album, about a man we've discussed on the program a fair few times, and that's Fish Suit Man.
Fish Suit Man. I haven't actually written a song, but I would like to think I'm in the process thereof. I've had that clipping for a long time.
What did you make of the story? This is about a bloke who dons a fish suit and dies halfway between his house and a dam in a paddock, isn't it?
And when we say fish suit, it was just a bit of polythene, but obviously very constrictive.
Hang on, Tony. There's a few hours on the singer involved in this particular fish suit. It's head to toe. It's all encompassing.
But he was also caught on the end of a line. It's in the article.
Was
it's true. He was. Someone caught him tied to the end of a rope in the actual river. He said, "What are you doing?" And he said, I'm pretending to be a fish. That's in the article.
And did you know when they went through his house, they've opened the wardrobe and he's got about 50 fish suits. He's got like one for every occasion.
Spring and a winter range.
Formal occasions.
And did the guy who hooked him on the line, do you know if he took a photo of him holding him by the ankles?
Did he throw him back? Because I understand it's a tradition amongst fishermen to always throw the first fish suit man of the day back. It's an old Indian thing. Now, obviously, Nick, you've been taken by that particular story, and you mentioned in this interview I've been reading that you actually do get ideas going through the paper. Sounds like your job's pretty much like ours.
Were you reading the papers yesterday?
No, was it? Why?
No, that's a shame, because you might have been able to knock up a song about someone liposuctioning Mickey Rourke's ass. There's
no
the first
way.
Single off the next album, for sure.
I've written a song about how it's become compulsory to wear a blow-up kangaroo when you're riding a pushbike. Now,
this is the kind of showmanship we're looking for. Can we expect something like that from Nick Barker? Like?
Well, I'm always onto the hot issues, though, so...
Mm-hmm.
I guess if I was riding my bike to the gig, then I'd have to, because it's going to become the law pretty shortly. Pull over. Where's your blow-up kangaroo? On the spot fine of $20.
Blow into this kangaroo. Now, Nick, you're riding to the gigs. Who's coming with you? You've got a bit of a three-piece happening for this particular...
Yeah, I've got the the trio. It's sort of like guerrilla warfare. This is the way I see it anyway. The pub rock scene, according to me, is like guerrilla warfare. You're out there, you're on your own, you need to be flexible, hostile and agile. So I've trimmed the band down to a three-piece. It's also handy because if you separate the other band members, no one can backstab you. So turn your back on
them. What happened to those reptiles? Are they still a unit? Can we see them anywhere these days? What are they doing? Is it Tony Barber and the reptiles? Have they hitched themselves to someone else's wagon?
No, actually, they're not. They're just sort of still floating around in the cosmic waste of the Melbourne music scene, I think.
Right.
I still see the guys a bit, but there's no talk of a reunion or anything at this point in time.
Another 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah, we'll do a cover band. Be the best damn reptiles cover band you ever saw.
And what's Michael Gudinski got them doing?
Basically hedges. And cleaning out the drains.
Very nice. All right, Nick, I think it's time to hear a bit of... We've been shuffling around your album here. Let's hear a bit of it. I'll tell you what, you're going to play a track off it for us live, I believe. Yes, single.
The new single called Someone Like You.
All right.
Live and acoustic.
Okay, take it away, Nick Barker.
Well, there it is. There it is, live in the studios of Martin Molloy, the new single from Nick Barker. Nick is with us on the panel, and Nick, are you out on the road? What's happening?
Yeah, we'll be road testing the material.
I see.
Next Friday at the Tivoli in Adelaide, and the Friday after that at the Lyric Hotel in Sydney, and then the Crash and Burn Cafe on the last Friday of the month in Brisbane.
Nick, there was a period back in the 80s, so I think it was the 80s, when you were with the Reptiles, and it seems to me that you were supporting everybody. If the Pope came out here, it was supported by Nick Barker. Of the Reptiles.
Yeah, well, it got a bit like that. I mean, to me, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Spinal Tap, but I didn't think that film was funny at all.
You know, every second guest who comes on the show says that. Everyone's got a Spinal Tap story.
It's really rotten the way they made him play before that puppet show. That happened to us.
What is the worst gig you've ever done?
There's been a few. I mean, I remember once we played it, we ended up playing out the back of Brisbane somewhere, and we didn't know what the gig was. We rocked up there, and it was actually a strip club.
Oh, right.
And there was the good old name up there, right, amidst sort of Miss Such and Such and the Snake Show and all the rest of it. There was about five people in there. And, huge place that held about 2,000.
So five people, but they each put $20 down the front of the underpants?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I wish.
Now, tell us what the pub rock circuit is like. Is there a kind of rivalry between you guys and the cover bands that are out there as well?
Well, not really, because they've sort of got their own. Pubs that have cover bands don't tend to have original bands playing at them, it seems, but our gigs are getting smaller, which is good. So if you get 100 people, you're still going to full house. Pretty soon I'm just going to be having gigs at home at my joint, you know. With the sign out the front, 10 people in there. Oh, it's full house, sorry, you can't come in.
Nick Barker at his place tonight, ladies, bring a plate.
not if these reviews are anything to go by. You must be wrapped. Would this be the best reception you've had for an album to date? Because everything we read about it just says it's excellent.
I guess my last album was sort of a bit of catch-up time for me, you know. People were maybe taking me a bit more seriously, so I think this album is sort of like, oh, well, maybe he's not, you know, cover boy or whatever, you know, and sort of taking me a bit more seriously with my song, so. Especially when they'll hit him with that fish man one day.
Exactly.
I'll be right up there with Eric Clapton and the boys.
Now, do you find a lot of pressure to have a hit overseas? I know when you were back with the Reptiles, you talk about getting American producers in and that kind of thing. That goes on, does it?
You guys are great. No, strap yourselves in.
Is that how it works? They get American producers out just to impress the American releasing companies?
Seems to be like that in the 80s. It was like almost an endorsement of your product, inverted commas. So they'd sort of say, oh, produced by such and such. God, well, it must be great. But the sort of money that you'd spend on these guys was just ridiculous. It was almost like they used Australia as a means of putting their children through college.
Right.
That'll be $400,000 a second, thanks. Oh, really? Will you put your name on it? Yes.
You did go to America,
didn't
you?
A few times.
Yeah, now how was that? Because I imagine unless you were going there with a fairly high profile, it could get pretty difficult.
Went over there to do a lot of songwriting, which was pretty weird. You'd sort of end up in a room with someone, just say, like the three of us, and, okay, I got this great idea for a song. You'd walk out of there with, you know, Eye of the Tiger, Mark II. That was about the strangest bit of it. What am I doing here doing this, you know?
And then what's wrong with Eye of the Tiger? That's on Steve Waugh's motivational album. It must be back-to-back gold.
I'm not serious.
Nick, thanks for coming in and partaking of such an intellectual discussion.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming down
down to our level. And the album, it's in the shops now. Have you seen it in the shops? Do you know that for a fact?
No, because I'm too scared I'd get caught. I'd be candid camera. I've been there looking for my own album. Or worse still, buying it, buying sort of 400 copies of it from a Thrashers chart store or something.
Do you go out and do the signings?
I used to, but it was too sold to drawing time. I decided to give it up. But we were thinking of selling the album in packs of 1,000. You only need to sell 30.
You can make a shed with 1,000 Barker albums. I'm just going down the shop to get a crate of Barker.
You can give them to John Jarrett to build something out of them.
I'm extending. Yeah. All right, Nick, thanks for your time today.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Real McCoy here at Martin Molloy. Thanks very much to Nick Barker for dropping by. Mm. And, you know, musicians love coming on the show, Mickey, because they know that their music is going to be discussed seriously.
Absolutely. That was a roundtable discussion.
Yeah.
And modern music and where it's headed.
Damn Mermaids, it's in the shops now. The Damn Mermaids tour is underway. He mentioned some dates there, but he didn't mention them all. Tonight, it's the big album launch at the Evelyn in Melbourne. So if you're in Melbourne, head down the Evelyn and support Nick and his new album.
Get along. That should be a good night, I reckon.
And if you're at Mount Hotham over the weekend, he's up there at the snow. Alberg. Will he be wearing the Lederhausen?
Yeah.
All right.
He's a showman right to the very end.
That's over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday night. But let's move on, shall we? Pete, give us the mail.
Got something you want to get off your chest? Well, now's your chance, because it's time for Martin Molloy True Confessions. Maybe you've forgotten someone's birthday. Perhaps you've been stealing stationery from work. Or maybe it's just that you're the brains behind TV's Mahatma Coat. Everybody has a guilty secret, but only Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to fess up and bag yourself a fabulous prize.
Ages and ages ago, my sister rang me up to warn me that some Rellos are up visiting my parents.
Right.
And so that was okay. And then about 5 minutes later, the phone rings and it was my dad, and I pretended that I was the answering machine and he believed me.
Could you repeat your performance for us now? Give us a little burl of what you did.
Hi, you've rang Annette at the moment and I'm not home. If you could leave a message after the tone, please do so and I'll call you back.
You're there, Annette. We know it's you.
All right. Did your dad know?
No, but he probably does now.
You better call him. I'll bet you get his answering machine.
Three confessors enter the booth, but only one emerges with the George Michael 3.5 pack of CDs and goes into the drawer for a trip for two to the UK to see George Michael live in concert. All thanks to Foxtel's Red Music Television. Okay, lads, let him off the hook.
Well, Mickey, we've only been doing this segment a week, and already it's caught on around the nation. People are coming out of the closet and fessing up to things left, right, and centre. What about our Sydney Olympic Organising Committee? They've fessed up that many of the Aboriginal dancers at the Games, the closing ceremony, of course, the one with the inflatable kangaroos.
Oh, yeah.
Many of the Aboriginal dancers weren't, in fact, Aboriginals at all. They were ring-ins, a lot of them. Half the women in the Aboriginal segment were white Australians painted in red ochre. Now, Harry Miller is not very impressed by this. Says Harry, he also understood that some surfy types who were unrehearsed joined the 30 actual lifesavers in the ceremony. The ring-ins were told to grab a flag and follow the leader.
A lot of planning has gone into this, hasn't it?
And Mr. Miller said it was shameful that overseas television viewers could be misled. So, and I understand, you know who's the most apologetic about this? Mm-hmm. About the fact that many of the dancers weren't Aboriginals? Arthur Tunstall, he's gone and apologised to all those white dancers.
Oh, has he?
He'd made jokes about them.
Oh, okay.
And he's very, very embarrassed.
Good.
So, good to see Arthur. Mm-hmm. Now, we always have somebody fessing up at this point.
Mm-hmm.
There's no celebrity with us today. Nick Barker had to rush off to his album launch.
Yep.
So let's get our producer, Gracie, involved. Gracie, just before you step into the booth, wheel it out.
Yes. There he is. Come on, push!
Okay, Gracie.
We should give him a hand one day. You know, you see him.
All right, you've made your booth. Now you've got a lion. It open the curtain, Gracie. Step in and, okay, the slidey door is open. Gracie, I'm sure you've got a few things to confess. Two. Just give us one, can you?
Well, this one was when I was living in Sydney and I was sharing a house with a bloke and I was going out with this lovely girl, but, she wasn't really all that bright. She once saw a sign on Sydney Harbour saying submarine cables and thought that they were what dragged the submarines around.
So, oh, is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I went home. I used to go home and tell this mate about you know, how she wasn't all that bright. And he ended up marrying her.
Oh, dear. Yeah, and she had the luck, you know. You might be feeling pretty happy. She had the last laugh because she's now our education minister. Racing. What are you doing? You're producing this half-assed radio program.
Have you heard from him since, Crazy?
No.
Like to send a cheerio to anyone?
No, I think I've done enough damage.
All right. Well, you've fessed up, and that's the important thing.
Get out of the booth.
And the people at Red Music Television on your Foxtel pay TV network have come good with a trip to the UK to see George Michael and do all the British stuff that you can do. You can just be as British as you want for the whole of a trip with a friend. And you can be in the draw for it. Call us with your true confession, 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. From the 70s and 80s. Thank you.
Thank you, Maestro Tommy Gracie, here at Martin Malloy's True Confessions time, as that music should alert you to the fact that it is time for people to just step into the booth with us, with Mick and Tone, your radio buddies.
Open the cake hole and drop yourself in it.
That's right. Before our national listening audience. I think that's how it works. I've painted the picture. Let's get into the booth firstly, of course. Got to observe the procedures.
I'll move along.
And open up the little wooden slidey door. Who have we got first, Mickey? Who is it?
It's John. Hello, John. How are you?
How are you?
Not too bad. What would you like to fill us in with?
All right. A few years ago, my mates and I, we used to go around car parks and leaving notes on people's windscreen. We used to watch them. They come out, they'd jump in their car, they'd pull the note out, and they'd read, "Oh, I'm sorry I've hit your car. It's only a small dent, but I'm more than willing to pay for the damage." And you'd leave someone's name and number. And like that, you'd get out, and they'd go round and round the car looking for this thing, and it's never there.
Oh, you're a menace.
And John, whereabouts did you, what part of the country did you used to do this in?
In the west.
In the West. Okay. And was that a fantastic night's entertainment?
Oh, I reckon Telstra's profits would have been 10% from me. That's how many cars we would have done.
I see.
And so did people ever actually call you? Did you give them your number?
Oh, not my name. That'd be silly.
Oh, okay. That's another end of the prank, is it? You give them someone else's number altogether.
And did you have a name for this? Sounds like something that should have a name.
No, we just used to get some real long name from the book. From the white pages.
Oh, okay.
And John, then you'd be ringing up, oh, is this the blah, blah, blah there?
You didn't stick the note on the front of our confessional booth, did you? Because last night I spent a good half an hour circling this baby, going, who hit us, where, what?
All right, well, John, the game's up, your secret's out, and thanks for confessing. And now we'll just open the second slidey door and meet Maria. Are you there, Maria?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Not too bad. Have you got a story as exciting as that last one?
No, I don't, actually, but hey, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. Basically, I just moved into a flat and I've got no fridge or anything like that. And all my best friend did come with was a big bottle of Nescafe.
Right.
And basically, I had no milk, no sugar. So desperate times, we went over to McDonald's and stole some UHT milk and some sugar.
Oh, dear.
Century.
Isn't that terrible?
You didn't even buy a burger or a chip or nothing?
No, nothing. We just whipped in there, quickly duck out and sort of, you know, for the attendants leave for a second.
Did you grab a handful of straws?
No.
Just for good measure?
Napkins, yeah.
Napkins, oh, I'm sure you did. That'd be make a nice coaster, won't it, for your coffee cup?
Lovely. They come in handy.
Listen, Maria, those items are there for people, genuine customers of McDonald's. So if you're going to take them, make sure you go to the toilet while you're there as well, okay?
Okay, well, we'll make do.
All right. Okay. Well, that's an alternative to not having a fridge, moving in next to McDonald's. Fantastic idea.
All right.
Well,
I hope you've got an oven.
We've had two illegal ones so far. Have we really? That's not crime, is it really?
Oh, look at their confessions, Tone. It all comes under the all-encompassing confession kind of thing.
I'm sick of finishing the segment going outside and having to answer questions for cops. It's ruining my day. And have we got Peter?
Yeah, good
behind the door. How are you? What have you got for us?
Well, a number of years ago on Saturday night, I was at a 21st, this is the early 80s, and all the girls at the party were bitching about how the power had gone out the previous night.
Yeah.
They couldn't crimp their hair and put their makeup and all that garbage.
It was the early 80s, so there would have been a fair bit of hair crimping and that
It was the rage.
Yeah.
And I told them that the reason was there'd been a car accident in the area.
Yeah.
And it had wiped out the power.
Oh, is that right?
And they whinged and carried on, but now I'm here to confess, well, I caused the accident, it was me.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. It's
taken you all over 10 years to fess up, Peter.
It has.
And then John went and put a note on his car saying, I've dented it.
Oh, you didn't have to look far for the damage on it.
Right, and was anyone hurt in the accident?
No, I walked away, but the car wasn't good and the power pole blew up or something.
And how large was the area that was denied power thanks to your
fracking? Basically all of Vermont and part of Mitcham.
Oh, dear. And so people sitting down to watch, say, I don't know, the Don Lane show would have been sorely pleased at the result of your actions.
There is jubilation.
Exactly, so I'm probably doing a community service.
That's it. Okay, well, thanks very much, Peter. Is that our winner?
I think it is.
I think Bono's causing a two-suburb power failure and fessing up. Oh, 12.
And women, remember, women couldn't clip their hair.
Exactly, and they're required to now by law.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Peter, you've got, firstly, the 3.5-pack of CDs, and you're in the running for that trip to England.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll be drawing that 2 weeks from today at this time, so be listening then. Thanks to everybody who fessed up today. We'll be back with another week of it come Monday on Martin Malloy, and until then, remember...
You got to accentuate positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
No, no, sorry, Gracie, I can't talk yet. I've got to wait till this bit ends. We've got to know that Doctor Who has safely reached his destination. That was no doubt just a girl here at Martin Malloy.
You've seen them as stars. You've seen them before they were stars. Well, now you can see some of Hollywood's biggest names before they were five. Yes, it's tonight's brand new TV special. You'll see some remarkable footage of the glamorous Hollywood in crowd. But they're so young, you won't actually know if it's them or not. You'll just have to take our word for it. See Clint Eastwood while he was still in nappies. See Elvis Presley before he was in nappies. We've got some rare and little-known footage of Frank Sinatra having his bottom wiped after doing poo-poos in his pants. Sure, it was only taken last Tuesday, but what the hell? We thought we'd show it to you anyway. And if you want to see actor Gavin McLeod in short pants and long socks, then I suggest you watch an episode of The Love Boat. Any idea who this could be? No, neither have we, but go along with us as we pretend it's a young Al Pacino. And if you're a fan of Marlon Brando's, you'll love this never-before-seen footage of a very young Marlon sitting on the potty with his colouring in book. Wow, check it out. Even at this tender age, Marlon wouldn't sit on the can without some kind of reading material. Now, that's informative and entertaining. So tune in tonight to Before They Were Five and see this 1.5-hour television spectacular before it is axed. And if that prospect isn't appealing enough for you, this could also be your last chance to see me, the host, before I start work as a taxi driver. And it just might be the last television program you watch before you kick a giant hole through the front of your screen. And the good news is, I have a funny feeling that that's the last thing you're going to hear out of me before I get beaten to a bloody puppy.
That didn't seem to...
Open Arms. That's Mariah Carey here at Martin Malloy, and that's really all we've got time for this week, I'm afraid. As always, I'd just like to remind people to, over the weekend, if you've got time and you've got access to the internet... Mm. If you haven't, probably don't bother.
Nah.
Visit the Martin Malloy website. It gets updated every week. There's always something going. There's some pretty daggy photos in there, I understand.
I'm afraid so.
People keep digging up evidence and sending it into us, and we foolishly put it on there for you to have a look at. All kinds of stuff to read, things to do. You can sit in the virtual chair. It's hours of entertainment.
It's a time-wasting procedure.
It is, and it's at http://martinmalloy.village.com.au. How's that? I've committed it to memory.
Rolls off the tongue.
Very impressive. Been practicing that all day. All right, now let's end the week, as we always do, by getting all the really piss work jokes we didn't have time for and packing them into the Martin Malloy Comedy Insinkerator. It's ready to go, is it, Gracie? All right, start the clock. I'll kick things off with news that embattled Foreign Affairs Minister Alexander Downer has lashed out at the Australian media, accusing them of failing to report many of his achievements on the current Asian tour. I read all the major dailies last week, he said, and four of my best bungles weren't even mentioned.
And continuing on, Foreign Affairs Minister Alexander Downer has taken to Malaysia, the first presence, that is, Jacqueline Gillespie has been able to send her children since they were abducted by their father, a Malaysian prince, 4 years ago.
Right.
When Downer appeared on the prince's doorstep while the birthday party was in progress, the prince looked at him in a quizzical fashion before saying, "I'm sorry, I don't remember ordering a children's clown."
Police this week expressed concern about the amount of bomb-making information available on the internet. Said one senior sergeant, "I logged on and within 7 minutes I'd found the script to Demi Moore's striptease."
An Austrian body painter has invented a liquid condom which the user paints on and then lets set in place. The paintings so far have proved very popular, although a few observers have complained about the eerie way the eye follows you around the room. Might have had the booze then, Gracie.
I think so. And while you're in that neck of the woods, Mickey, Channel 10 last night received a record number of complaints following the new Sex Life program, which allegedly broadcast an image of a male sex organ in a state of arousal, unquote. It wasn't the image itself that offended. It was just that, as one caller put it, it was the worst paint job he'd ever seen.
Get him out of here.
I don't want to see him again. Although, you know, they might come back if it's a bad news week. You just never know. Now, we'd like to thank our guests, Nick Barker, the man in the glass booth, Pete Smith, all our gladiators and confessors. As always, a big end of week salute to our producer, Gracie.
Hiya, Gracie.
Our assistant, Emma. Making the sketches, it's Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
All the button pushers, eggheads, satellite wranglers and knob jockeys right around the network grid.
Craig Jansen, The Rock, yes. Helping us out today.
Indeed, and a big hello to all our new listeners in Wagga. Or as some people call it, Wagga Wagga. Hello to everybody up that way. And listen, we'll be back Monday with another week of it. And I think we're kicking off the week, hopefully, by communicating with Judith Lucy in Edinburgh. We'll see what happens there. And just before we go, you may have noticed, if you've seen the news already, there's been a big parade in Sydney. Not the official ticker tape parade. That's, I think, next week. But it was the, what is it called?
The flag-bearing ceremony. The Olympic flags here, Tom.
Flag-bearing ceremony. We'll call it that. I think we're crossing to a bit of that now.
And now the crowd getting quite excited as they get their first glimpse of Superfish Kieran Perkins. Here come our triumphant hockey roof. Next up, it's the face of the Channel 7 commentary team, Gary Wilkinson, Wilco. Whoops, he's rear-ended Arthur Tunstall. And now here comes the man behind our closing ceremony presentation, Rick Birch. Oh dear, quite a few eggs being hurled. And, oh my God, he's losing control of the vehicle. Oh, and thank God his impact was broken by that enormous kangaroo exploding out of the steering column. Well done.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Pete Smith speaking.